St. Lucia and other jurisdictions. So our tax policy is not the only solution to bringing the economy back in line. We have a plethora of solutions that all work together, and they can be seen on our website at solutionsbarbados.com. They've been published for over almost 3 years. It is just a part of the plan, because we see the major problem is tax reform. Barbados is an overtaxed jurisdiction, and you have to understand, Sanka.
Several thousand Barbadians would agree with you there. We got to go back to the phone lines now. Mr. Jeptince, are you still there?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Ask your question, and thank you very much for holding. You can ask your question. Yes.
Quickly, yes. Because I know the others. Mm-hmm. This whole idea of the foreign reserves, I have stated that it is a benchmark of 12 weeks. And I asked the question over and over and tried to find an answer. How did we arrive at the 12 weeks as a benchmark? Did it come from the IMF? Did it come from Standards and Poor's? What is the formula or formulae for that 12 weeks? And I have never seen a study. Mr. Moderator, I search all over to see what is the most viable foreign reserves level for Barbados. What is the most viable?
Mr. Ibsen, with all due respect, because I know people here are chomping at the bit, but I can deal with you first. With all due respect, we have a situation in Barbados where our foreign reserves right now is close to 4 weeks of imports.
Correct.
Okay, we do not know at this stage how many pending debts that we have to pay internationally. We have a situation where the price of oil is rising. Oil runs this country,
and oil
we can right now. We don't know what the situation is apart from, because what I'm speaking is. Goes back to January 31st. So right now we could be approaching a balance of payments crisis, and we don't even know. And you are going to come here and ask for and try to get involved in an academic lesson about benchmark? Really? Come on, seriously.
What I am saying to you is that we look at the 12 weeks. I come for an academic exercise, but within this, hello?
I'm with you.
Yes, but within this, we look at all of the variables. So don't let us go down that road. But none of us look at the borrowing to prop up the foreign reserves over those years. And that is what I'm getting at. Allow me to get there, sir. The borrowing of the foreign reserves.
But Jepta, come on, man. Jepta, man. You're being ingenuous. Of course you borrowed. But in 2009, Barbados had $1.47 billion in foreign reserves. That's the highest 21 point something weeks of foreign reserves of import cover.
Over the years,
Jepta, you were not in business. When things are going well, you borrow to, of course,
we never borrowed for foreign reserves. Not prior to 1999, the country was producing. Allow me to say what I have to say. The country was producing. And we never
You said prior to 1999?
Prior to 1999.
All right.
We never borrowed a cent in this country under Arabella Tom Adams, not a penny for foreign reserves. Go and check the records.
All right.
We were producing in 1999.
All right.
We started borrowing money for foreign reserves.
I'm going to let the people here on the panel respond to you. First of all, Mr. Rhinestone, you want to respond to him first, you said?
Look, all I can say to the public of Barbados, this is precisely the reason we are in this situation now. This guy has been a parliamentary secretary in the Ministry of Finance for the last 10 years. And if he can come to this program today to seek to not just mislead, but misrepresent basic economic fundamentals, I'm truly disturbed. Now, you can't come and ask today where the 12 weeks come from, because that is irrelevant in the context of the point you made with respect to the fact that we are less than 4 weeks, approximately, and what he should be saying is what are the plans that they are currently working on to ensure that between now and when the election is called, that a devaluation is not triggered in this country. And to the extent that we're having this discussion, I find it quite disturbing. Now, let me just assure the public. I must admit, right now, just listening to him has got me completely offset.
I will go to Mr. Neil Holder.
Completely.
Mr. Neil Holder.
But at this, particular juncture, I will concur with Ryan Strawn. The senators really confuse me. But let's speak about some solutions. Let's speak about the fact that the government is looking to sell the BNTCL and Hilton to raise U.S. dollars. For me, that really doesn't make a lot of sense. Because throughout the diaspora, we have quite a few wealthy Barbadians with U.S. dollars. And we are seeking to sell particularly the oil terminal to a single entity in Barbados that is not owned by a Barbadian company. It is actually owned by a St. Lucia Corporation. The way the sale is structured, that the oil terminal will be sold or proposed to be sold to BNTCL St. Lucia Limited. All right? Now, the same, but Mr. Conley, you shake your head, but I read the documents. So unless the documents I read and on the same basis that the FTC has given for the public is incorrect, then I have to proceed based on the information I have. Now, the reason I'm saying that is this. We have enough wealthy Barbadians throughout the diaspora that if we did an initial public offering for shares to be sold for the entity in U.S. dollars, those Barbadians abroad can send money in to buy shares in that entity. And it still remains in the ownership of the people of Barbados. Whereas we still maintain the ownership of the BNTCL. We still have the ability for the profits in it to continue to come in at $80 million per year. But the government gets to shore up its foreign exchange. Likewise with the Hilton and all the other entities that they're wanting to sell. But if we also look at the concept of the fact that we do have a credit union movement in Barbados with approximately 200,000 persons who also have Barbadian accounts, and some of them have U.S. accounts. So let's say we offered the credit union movement to buy shares in BNTCL and buy shares in Hilton. There are people who live in the diaspora that are also credit union movement members in Barbados that would be too happy to send their money in. Why not liberalize the market as well so that all Barbadians everywhere can have U.S. dollar accounts?
All right. Thank you. Mr. Hennis, you'd like to respond to this?
This is
what Mr. Niholder is saying right now.
Let me pass on this for the time being.
All right, Mr. Connolly, and then I'll come to you, Mr. Weatherhead.
Let me respond to this. And let me say this in very simple language. Look, the gravitas of the BNTCL sale should not be lost. Simpson Oil, Salt, is a Barbadian oil company. The fact that it has an IBC in St. Lucia, that's standard business for any international firm who has several entities in several markets. Okay, so there are several Barbadian firms who glean funds from international markets, and for obvious reasons, you set up an IBC to reduce your tax exposure. One of the things that this sale will do is that this sale takes the pressure of buying petroleum for Barbados off the government of Barbados. That is the real point here.
That's not true.
I said it takes the pressure of buying, of finding the foreign exchange to purchase oil for this country off the government of Barbados. But
that is not true.
And I think that is the way you need to look at it, because...
Well, Mr. Connolly...
Let him develop his point, and then we can go after him.
Here we go after.
Yes. All
right. Salt is an international firm, locally based. All right. Well, locally, the headquarters now sits, as far as I know, in Cayman. And Salt gets more foreign exchange from other markets than it does from Barbados. If Salt and the company through which it buys BNTCL needs to find petroleum funds, foreign exchange funds, to buy oil, it can get it from any source and doesn't have to depend on what's in the central bank. So it takes a lot of pressure off the market. And I think that's one of the main points that people miss in this whole transaction.
That is entirely incorrect. The government is only selling the terminal. That is the storage facility. The Barbados National Oil Company is the one responsible for purchasing of oil. Government of Barbados pays for all of the purchasing of oil and sells it to the local suppliers in Barbados dollars. through the Barbados National Oil Company. The government is not selling the Barbados National Oil Company, Mr. Connolly. They are selling the storage facility that was, I believe, I speak under. I could be corrected, but I understand that the storage facility was actually built and paid for by Sol Group, and that the government of Barbados pays them, in fact, for storing fuel on behalf of the BNOC, and then turns around and sells that fuel to the local suppliers in Barbados dollars. So this sale is not going to at all impact on who purchases fuel for Barbados. What it will do is impact on the cost of storing of fuel, and so we'll have a monopoly on the storage of fuel in this country. That is an extremely dangerous precedent. That is my concern.
And that's correct, Scott, because I think of all persons here on the table, the Barbados Integrity Movement has been the only entity that has fought this from inception to now. The Barbados Labour Party spoke on it twice. That was once when it was announced, and that morning when the leader said that, you know, she would give me all support in fighting this. And what Scott is saying is correct. We have to recognize that the sale of BNTCL and the fact that the government has agreed that they would give an automatic increase of 32% throughput rate, and then tell the people of Barbados that it is not going to redound to an increase in fuel. When every 2 weeks or so we have a fluctuation in the cost of fuel, it is a diabolical, but difficult,
dishonest thing to do. Thanks a lot, Sanka. Let me just step in quickly. I mean, really, it's sale of state-owned enterprises, all right, or sale of state-owned assets or whatever. Okay, that's the Hilton, that's the BNTCL, okay? It is really short-term measures to plug a situation that we're in. We're down to 4 weeks. And it's very serious. If you go in like a 15-year period, 2002 to 2017, our two largest imports were food and fuel. If you're down to 4 weeks, right, we're basically saying theoretically, I'm not scaremongering or anything, but theoretically we can run out of the ability to import food and fuel. And you were raising the fuel factor, the prices are going up, but food and fuel being our two largest, we might not have money even to cover that, okay, on paper, right? But they're short-term measures. The reality, at the end of the day, you still have to put long-term plans in place. That's right. And that's where the whole growth factor comes.
And the thing is, what are the long-term plans being put in place? We go back to our phone lines. See, Mr. Mark Williams, you're on the air.
Hi, Price.
Yes, good morning. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Go ahead. Good afternoon, Mr. Price.
Good afternoon.
To your members there. I have been listening to some academic politics over the last couple of hours. Mr. Price, there could be some questions that I want to pass to your panel there. But I want to say that, fortunately for me, I don't think I'll be wrong when those other parties come to power, based on the fact they're unlikely to come to power with some of the suggestions that I've heard from them. Now, I want to know, suppose any one of them outside of the Barbados Labour Party comes to power, what will be the sacrifice as a party that you will need to take this country for? What you are prepared? Are you prepared to find means and ways for re-employing people in this country? Are you prepared to stop the hemorrhaging of U.S. currency from being removed from this country to different people accounts across the world? Are you prepared, as far as a leader of this country, to make sure that your taxes are paid, that you don't suffer your country of which you're leading, that you don't subtract from NAS or you don't subtract from NSRL, or you don't want more taxes because you want to keep your standard of living high, driving your big BMWs across the street? I'm asking these questions because you're talking politics the way you're talking politics. You're talking representation. You're talking people's needs. I heard someone say, we will make more money. Yes, you will make more money. To whose disadvantage? At the low end of the country, disadvantage. Your advantage will be high because you catch your airplane, you fly and put your money in your overseas account. You refuse to pay the status quo as far as your taxes are concerned. So the country finds itself in the city. We are not ready for that type of government yet. We are not ready for this type of government that I'm hearing this morning, that discussing what they do. We are prepared for a government that wants to take people forward. We want to move people from the position of being poverty stricken. We want to move people from the position.
Mark, you're preaching. Ask your question, please.
I'm going to ask a question. I thought it was outside of the Barbados Labour Party's representatives there, which I know the Barbados Labour Party seem to have got a plan. I know they've got a plan. The question I'm asking the other gentleman.
The plan is still invisible.
Huh?
The plan is still
invisible. Ask a question, Mark. Mr. Holder, please.
The question is this. Are you prepared to stop the hemorrhaging that goes on or went on in this country over a period of time? And the hemorrhaging has us in this particular position. The siphoning off of savings being sent out of this island. The position one that neglect of the very companies of which you as academics have run to the point that you have objected and refused to acknowledge that there is a tax cause. Are you prepared to find out and make sure that there are better tax collections in this country to save us from the drainage that we're in and as a government?
All right, thank you.
Absolutely. What I can say is Mr. Connolly alluded to it earlier when he said that a lot of businesses have offshore companies in St. Lucia, the BVI and so forth for what? Tax avoidance purposes. Why is that? It is because we are taxing corporations on profits and no one likes to pay taxes. So therefore, if you're continuing to tax a company on its profits and not on what it's collecting at the register, they will continue to use tax shelters in St. Lucia and other places to hide those profits so they pay zero or very little taxes. So what we are proposing to do is to change that structure so that we capture everybody. When we do that, all these offshore businesses in St. Lucia will disappear because they will benefit no one. None of the businesses will benefit by having them. The problem that Barbados faces right now with St. Lucia and other CARICOM jurisdictions as far as taxes goes is the very same problem Canada faces with Barbados. And what the solution to changing that is to change the way in which companies are taxed. And that is precisely what we are proposing to do.
Mr. Hennis, you're looking in.
Right. I just want to respond to that particular call. And he made some valid points. Sorry. Listen, to get here this morning for a 10 o'clock thing, I had to take a 7:30 bus. I was going to take a 6:30 bus. My car is temporarily down. I live in East Point, St. Philip. Okay? So I'm on the ground and understand every day. I know what it's like to be packed in the minibus every single day when I have to, until I get my car up and going again. Right? I know what it's like to go in the supermarket and see bread going up. And watching people put things back. Okay? It is for me, this is not a joke. If not, I would not be sitting here today, even as a member of UPP, taking the blows you take when you get into politics. I have better things I could do. Okay? For me, it is a serious thing. And I'll be honest, I like what the guy says. He says we are in a serious economic situation and it cannot be solved by a political solution. It is not about politics alone.
Correct.
We are in a serious situation. The point you raised earlier about the 4 weeks of foreign exchange levels, 4 weeks of imports. Listen, let me just stay on point. The guy asked, are we serious? Yes, I'm serious. If not, I would not be sitting here. Yes, I'm serious knowing that if you when you're getting on the ground from day one, you have to, there's several things you have to do. The Auditor General's reports that talk about the level of hemorrhage even within the government sector, you have to have those fixed. The growth plan, I spoke to you about it, and I'm hearing that where, well, George is alluding to it, basically, where you actually have to take your human resource skill base and you have to literally turn the country almost overnight into a export-led service development led country. Okay? That is something you have to hit the ground running and doing. It's like you parachute and you have to start running on that immediately. You raise other things about taxes. I know about the taxes. I know about that. To watch your land tax, your car taxes going up and up, right? The reality is that the only reason you can get those things done, that the guy talked about, is if you start to introduce that element of growth in the economy. The STEM, the STEAM, whatever you want to call it. And it's not just that. We're saying that setting up a platform, right, where you can start to generate, and they're saying all export-led sales. It's all critical. It is not pie in the sky. Nigeria did it. They set up with Iroko TV. I'm trying to make it quick, okay, Sanka? Yeah. And when they evaluated their economy between 1998 and 2013, right, 15-year period, they found that when they introduced certain line items in their GDP, which they had left out before, especially their film industry, they found that their economy had actually virtually doubled in that time span. They had not measured it before, but they introduced it as a line item of measurement.
I remember.
It is not theory. And so when the guy talked about academics, it's not I don't take issue with them. I understand what he's saying. But for me, and I'm sure many of us, it is a serious thing that we're about here.
All right, we go back to our phone lines. Good afternoon. You're on Brass Tacks. Go right ahead. You're on the air.
Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon.
Hi.
You're on the air.
I'll call you in a minute. Sorry, just 1 minute. Hi, good afternoon.
Hello.
Yes, please. Is this Brass Tacks?
Yes, it is. You're in
prison. Yeah. I'm calling. I'm a regular ordinary citizen, and I just want to make a comment and then ask my question, okay?
Great.
My comment first is, why we continue to send representation to the programs with people who were not elected by the people of Barbados and who for some reason appear to have just a personal agenda and a political affiliation. The question is, though, how could representatives who are in government and supporting government come and tell the public what needs to be done after 10 years that you had all the time in the world to do it? I don't understand that. There's no logic in that. So I don't understand how you're going to convince people that you have any idea of what to do. And the other thing is, the party who's bringing forward solutions and any programs that seemingly can be workable, you have to deal with that party because we need people with ideas and fresh ideas who are going to implement them and not just talk.
And your question is, sir.
Party are blown, okay?
And your question is?
My question is, what are the parties bringing to the table to solve the road problems, the unemployment problems, the high inflation, the taxation, and the list goes on, foreign exchange, drilling, everything. We have everything in confusion, so we need to hear what is going to be done and what, not what can be done, but what is going to be done definitely to solve a lot of these problems. We are paying a lot of taxes, road taxes and all those things, and we are not seeing the results in them. So we just need to find out what you're going to do to stop these problems, okay?
Thank you very much for your call. We go to the second caller.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
A very pleasant afternoon to you, sir. My question is, why people think that only the BLP and the DLP can run this country? I would like to tell Mr. Mark Williams, whenever he comes on this air, if he doesn't have anything sensible to say, just keep quiet and relax his brains. Okay, congrats, Scott, you're doing a good job, and thank you very much, sir.
Thank you very much. Now, gentlemen, we go to what the first caller really said, and he was asking, what are the parties bringing to the table? And basically, that's what we have been asking from day one. All right? I want a checklist. No. I said the agenda here, brother. I want a checklist. I heard from Ryan Strawn already, and I have a bias here because it's something that I strongly believe, and I've been writing articles about our foreign exchange. I've heard from Ryan Strawn. I've heard from Scott Weatherhead about this serious situation with our foreign exchange. Mm-hmm. We have about 4 weeks. And as I told Mr. Jeptins, I think that we could be right now heading into a balance of payments crisis. We could be in serious trouble. And nothing is being done to address it as far as I know as an average Barbadian. Mr. Connolly, first of all, are you aware of what is being done to address our foreign exchange problem? Don't give me the generalities or don't talk, please. I really need for that no more. We got very little time. Do you know what is actually being done right now?
I know the only thing that could be done mm-hmm. is that there has to be an accommodation made with the IMF. That's the only option.
Well,
that is the only option that anyone can see for the future if countries like us have that kind of problem.
So the Democratic Labour Party is going in that route at the present?
You asked me that earlier and I told you then.
Well, I did remember Mr. Sinclair coming around to the idea that one of the things that the election will do will be like something like a referendum on whether they should do something like that. Where's to that effect?
Correct. The thing about it is that I think whoever goes forward with a mandate from the people needs to look at it because we've done it before, we've negotiated successfully, and we can do it again. Mm-hmm. The IMF is not at the end of the world. Mm-hmm. It can be done successfully.
Hold on. Let me just come in here because it's important. If we have 4 weeks mm-hmm. of foreign reserves, and the prime minister is taking his time to call the election, right? It means in theory that we could be out of reserves before that. So the funding of itself, the IMF isn't the solution, because the question you ask is, what is the government doing right now to ensure that that does not happen?
Mm-hmm.
So if the Democratic Labour Party wants to go to the International Monetary Fund, they should have done so months ago to avoid the situation where we'll be in a where there's complete uncertainty with respect to the monetary stability of this country. Now, we know that as long as devaluation is not triggered before the election, that we are confident that we can bring the parties to the table and get this immediate situation resolved with respect to getting some foreign direct investment into this country. But we can't do that from opposition. We cannot execute that from opposition. So the question is, what is the government doing now to avert the problem? So I can tell you all the things that we can do, but the problem, I cannot do it now. And it needs to be done now.
And that's what I really want to find out. Can you help us?
The only thing I can say is what I told you before.
Okay.
Is that when governments are in this situation, the only accommodation is through the IMF. And I am saying to you, and I take the point that Mr. Strong made. I cannot speak to when elections will be called, but we all know that it's within the next 90 days. Okay? We know that. So within 90 days, there will be action taken to bring this matter to some closure.
But you know, but all this time that we're waiting, our reserves are dropping, the price of oil is rising, government continues to spend more than it is getting from in our taxes, we could be approaching a balance of payments crisis. And I'm very serious here. I'm going down this line because this is the reality that this country faces.
The schedule
and
of
when
payments.
And when we get to that point, we have no choice. We have to go cap in hand to someone to bail us out.
The schedule of payments is structured. So obviously, the Minister of Finance and the team at the Central Bank are aware of what needs to be paid and when. And I am sure that they will never do anything to jeopardize the economy. Okay, they will never do anything to jeopardize.
But they have not come forward to say anything to tell the public, to reassure the public that they're actually doing something. And that is what we're going to come back and deal with immediately after this commercial break. The Nation's editorial asked, how did we get back here? While referring to the foreign reserves crisis under Prime Minister Sandiford in the 1990s. My view is that the massive policy failure by government and the central bank to correct the foreign reserves problem in the 2 years after 2013 explains why we are here. They misguidedly tried to correct a fiscal deficit and a foreign exchange problem simultaneously with massive indirect taxation, which failed. The correct and appropriate solution at the time was foreign borrowing. The Nation editorial also asks, how can we fix this? We certainly cannot fix it by postponing elections. It is better to call the elections immediately and fix the foreign reserves problem after the elections. I do not believe the foreign reserves will suddenly show a reverse gear. Gentlemen, I put it to you that this is the situation that we face, and this is the issue that is the main thing that should be on the table to be discussed right now when we're talking about the economy. Okay? And I'm going to come back to you after we take this one call. You're on the air. Good afternoon. It's 1:33. People's Parliament. Good afternoon. Seems to have dropped out. Go right ahead.
Hello?
Yes, we're on the air. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Right. I'm sorry that you have to be having this intellectual competition. But I'm just going to ask a couple of questions and they're gone.
Please.
Now, they're talking about foreign exchange. Foreign exchange and let's see, it was holding on so long, I forget what they call it. But anyway, we talk about the foreign exchange. Well, people in you're not getting the central bank is not saying the foreign exchange. And the people are spending the money. People spending money, but you got to find a way of getting the money to the central bank. Because if a fella can come and spend it in the different shops and things like that, they're not going to carry it in. Because they're gonna lose on the foreign exchange on the dollar. When they get to the bank, they can get less. They have to get it on the street. And
you're suggesting that these days you're getting more than 2-1 on the street? Are you suggesting
of course,
that?
Of course.
Oh, how much are you getting these days?
I can't tell you the exact, but you know, American dollar is a strong dollar. No,
you're raffling. How much money can they get for a U.S. dollar now on the streets? As far as you know,
I can't tell you exactly the amount, right? But I know that people would pay anything to get a certain amount of U.S. money, and if they had to pay a few dollars on it, they can do it. If they go to the bank, they can lose.
I see.
So the point is, man, I was saying years ago, and the boy never paid me the money, that the government should set up some kind of a place where that you, when you come off the tourist boat, you change your money into Barbados money, and when you going back board the boat, you have Barbados money, you want change back into U.S. money, get it changed back. But if you depend on people spending in Barbados, and then the people going to carry the money to the bank, you're wrong. It's not going to happen. So the people spending the money, but you're not going to get the money going to the central bank.
Mm-hmm. All right,
but,
next,
you know, you hear a lot of experts in talking. You know, these fellas know this is a fact, but they don't want to do anything about it. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying, sir?
Yeah. And you have another question?
Yes, but trying to remember what we want to talk about, because you had me here with an answer for a long time. You know, it slipped me. So I was talking, rambling here, trying to see if I can remember exactly what you're talking about. Oh, yes, in the lines of taxes. Now, nobody don't like to pay a tax. Nobody like to pay a tax. And all over the world is problem with taxes. There's a gentleman many years ago that do something for the civil servants because civil servants was getting next to nothing when the man come. And he decided to do something called national insurance. And you know what happened? You know what happened, sir?
I don't know. You tell me.
He was voted out of power. He lose power for that, for taking out the civil service money. You understand me? He lose the government for that. A lot of people didn't remember that. They know the bragging how good it is in national insurance is a great thing over there. People could enjoy the vacation, the retirement now. But he got voted out of power for introducing national insurance because it was compulsory out of your money. And nobody don't like money, people to take out the money out of the work for. So nobody don't like to pay a tax. But that's how he's going to pay the civil servants. That's how he's going to pay utilities. You're going to get money.
Fair enough. Thank you for your insight, sir. We take one last call. And before we go, yes, go right ahead. You're on the air. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Yes,
beyond the air. Go ahead.
Yeah. Good afternoon to you and your guest, Sanka.
Yes, good afternoon, sir.
Mark Desmith, I got two questions, but before I get my two questions,
you gotta be quick. You gotta be quick.
Yeah, I just want to back up Mark and saying that what he's talking about is a cambio in the various ports where you could change as you come in and change when you're going back out. And that way you will have control over the U.S. dollars coming into the country. I agree with that. But let me just ask the goodly gentleman there, I said one time that one of the things that Barbados can do, as opposed to letting the Chinese settling to build hotels and do this and do that, let the Chinese invest some money in Barbados in agriculture, in the canes especially, to bring the crop back up to 50, 60, maybe 80,000 tons a year. We would give the Chinese a percentage of the sugar that we get. We keep a percentage for local use, and the remaining sugar we can sell to the same Chinese and get some foreign exchange coming in. That's one way we could look at the sugarcane industry, because I think that's one way you can make money. The other question I want to ask you guys, and then they're going to be gone and listen for answers, is this. I would like any of the people here in the panel to tell me what, if their party get into power, what they intend to do with the criminal activity in this country in terms of how you would try, you can't stop crime, but how you would try to control it and what you would do in terms of looking at the punishments and hanging out and all that kind of things. What is your take on it? And I will hang out, Sanka, listen to the answers.
All right, thank you. And we take one last call.
Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon.
Are you hearing me?
Yes, loud and clear. Everybody's hearing you. Go right ahead with your question.
Yes, I'm a Jamaican, no, by naturalization, but in Barbados since 2006, my passport shows as a profession, entrepreneur. Now, that is the correct way to go. And if everyone, a lot of stores downtown, empty, a lot of people can invest money by whatever import they import to sell in that store. I came here working in an institution at age 56. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And I was working voluntarily, getting $400 a week as a stipend. And now I am retired and want to start some other kind of business. My brother is in the pottery at Fairfield, Black Rock. And all the taxes and all that, his business, I have to be scaling down. So what I'm saying, whatever government will be in the next administration, if the component that they does not put in place by structure, order, and discipline, and whatever principles come with that, I don't see the economy growing. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much, sir. Panel, we have 20 more minutes before the end of the program, so let's have some robust discussion here. And
yes. Sanka, you know, I've been waiting a while to speak. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there are two matters. The second last caller spoke of bringing the Chinese in to help us with the sugar crops and so on, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I recall some years ago dealing with the Tillman Thomas administration in Grenada to provide them with some housing solutions when the Chinese came in, gave them a grant, and then made one of the stipulations being that they will build the housing that they were doing. And the Chinese promised the government of Grenada that they will hire Grenadians to work on the project. And up to the third year, approaching the fourth, running into the end of that administration, Tillman Thomas still could not get them to hire more than five people, five Grenadians.
So you're suggesting that might be happening at Sam Lawrence Castle project right
well,
now?
Well, I'm getting around to that because I'm aware that the work at Sam Lawrence Castle right now, it seems to be like some kind of theatrics, you know. You have all the hoarding going up there, but there's really no activity happening up there. But let me get right back to the most important part of it. The elephant in the room is whether we go to IMF or not. The situation we found ourselves in right now is very dire. And the IMF of today is not the IMF of yesterday, where they dictated to you what you have to do. You have to go to them with a plan of what you hope to do for your country to get it out of what it's in. And going to the IMF, you have to be a strong leader to say to them or dictate what you require. The money is there. They have to lend it out. And they lend it out at an interest. So if it's sitting there, it's not working for them either. But by the same token, you're going to them now as a diminished government or country with 22 downgrades. Where for 22 tries or over every option you've taken in parliament trying to turn the country around, you fail. Every time you've tried something, NSRL, etc., it has failed. So how can you go to IMF and say to them, I'm convincing you that the money I will borrow from you will turn the country around? The other elephant in the room is the topic that most of us try to avoid, and that is looking at joining the OECS. That's another option. Barbados can join the OECS. It becomes a bigger pool for us to do trade and other things. And for them, you know, they enjoy the benefit of having us there more liberalized and operating in that context as well. So we have options. Mm-hmm. We have options, but we're not hearing the options from the parties that purport to want to lead or are struggling to lead the country.
But you're trying to lead the country right now. And so you're just giving your options. I let Mr. Collins.
But we're not bringing all of our options on the table yet. I made it very clear to David. I said, look, I'm on the program, but I'm not going to share all of what we have.
But I wouldn't expect you to.
It is not the opportune time.
But I expect you to. Let Mr. Connolly speak, response to you and response to the questions. And we'll then move on to the other panelists as well. Go ahead, Mr. Connolly.
All right, one of the first things that I want to do is I want to reassure the country that devaluation and this fiscal cliff that we talk about, we're not going over the fiscal cliff.
How okay? can you assure us of that?
I'm going to tell you so right now, Sanka.
Hold well, on. You were looking at your phone all the time, so you've received instructions. Well, no, tell us. I mean, you were on your phone all the while. So
I've been on my phone since I came here.
I think Mr. Okay. is
if I. If I tell you who I'm speaking with and what I'm speaking about, I don't think it may be appropriate for radio. So let's deal with the substantive matter. And the substantive matter is that what we have in reserves right now are adequate to ensure that all debt is covered.
So what do we have in reserves right now?
Hold on. There are actually 4 weeks. I think the last figure that I heard was that there are 4 weeks left. Mm-hmm. But in addition to that, the central bank, as approved by the Ministry of Finance, okay, and I expected they're approved by the Ministry of Finance to borrow whatever they need, one. There's going to be an asset sale that's going to be completed in a few weeks that will add at least $190 million to that figure.
What asset sale could that be?
I don't think it'd be the BNTCL.
Because that's $100 million U.S., so what asset sale? Definitely. Again, not. You're checking your phone, so I mean, clearly you're getting instructions from
someone. But the BNTCL is not happening.
So you tell us, you give us some specifics.
Hold on a second. Mm. I think we know that the Four Seasons sale has gone through. That's almost a done deal.
But that sale apparently went through since 2015.
So where are the funds for that sale? So there's another sale that's going to go through. I think it's either Four Seasons or the Hilton that's going to happen very soon.
It seems as though we're having a flea market at government level.
Well, you can call it what you like, but that's a good shot. I like that. Okay? It's not a flea market. So I think everyone is aware of the assets that the government is currently trying to divest. And the divestiture will take place, and those funds will be available in a couple of weeks. Hmm. There's another thing, is that there's another...
But we only have 4 weeks.
It will happen...
Of reserves left.
It will happen shortly. It will happen shortly.
And you can't say...
I don't want anyone to be hyperbolic, and I don't want anyone to be alarmist.
But Mr. Connolly, we can't have a situation where... The government is trying secretly behind the table.
I agree.
To there's, do things
there's,
that...
There's no secret.
No, the Fair Trading Commission made it very clear.
Absolutely.
The conditions under which the sale of the BNTCL can happen. Now, I don't know what happened with the Hilton.
But
that was very swift.
You're talking about the BNTCL. All I have said...
I have to speak about the things that the government has announced that are for sale. The things that are recognized to have been spoken of. As far as I'm concerned, we don't have a parliament in place. So how are we going to be doing all these things?
All I have said was that a sale of an asset will be complete shortly, and when that is done, the public will be informed. Okay?
But I hope we're not selling. I hope we're not selling the prison.
That might be a good idea.
That is going to become useful in the very near future.
That may be a good idea. And additionally, there's another $100 million mm-hmm. through an agreement with CAF that's going to become available quite soon as well. Cool. Now, all these things
the
are...
Latin American Development Bank. Yeah.
Correct. Mm. So all these things are already in train.
Yeah,
but 60 million...
Let him finish,
Mr. Holder. Let him finish. You said $100 million will become available from CAF as the Latin American Bank.
I said that there is another $100 million mm-hmm. available through CAF, and about $60 million of that is going to be available in the short term. And obviously, these are things that would have been done before the dissolution of Parliament. Okay? These are not things that are being done in the cover of darkness, and there's no nefarious activity. So, you know, let's dismiss those suggestions. Outside of that, and we spoke to what is Barbados going to do. Barbados obviously needs to increase the stock of its earned reserves. And tourism projects that we have going on, like Sam Lawrence Castle and others, Four Seasons, as they grow, they will help to shore up the economy.
You said Four Seasons?
Four Seasons. Four Seasons is going to happen.
But and Sam Lawrence is currently on a go slow. There are less than 100 people up there working.
Right now, we have elections 90 days away. After the election period, and we have a mandate from the people, Sam Lawrence Castle and everything else will move forward. So let's speak to that then. I'm not going to speak to Sam Lawrence Castle and ongoing projects. They're ongoing. So the rate at which they go is conjecture. I'm not going to deal with that.
All right. Mr. Weatherhead, would you like to respond?
I'm quite concerned about the CAF Latin American Development Bank $100 million loan. I sincerely hope that since Parliament is dissolved, that if there is in fact a loan coming from this institution, that this document will be made a public document, because I have all of the agreements with CAF between the Barbados government and them. And one thing that I spoke about several months ago is the fact that there is specifically written into the legislation a requirement that within a specified duration of time of a loan agreement being entered into with this organization, that it must be put before Parliament. So it could end up in a situation where this government, during the dissolution of Parliament, enters into an agreement which the public doesn't know about, and several months into the next administration, suddenly this document by law is required to be brought before the House and is placed on the doorstep of the new administration to deal with. And because it has been executed by someone else, we are stuck with whatever has been organized. So I would really hope that any agreement for borrowing from CAF is made public. But I want to, more importantly, bring to the fore this thing that Mr. Connolly's finally publicly admitted, because I haven't seen a report from the central bank to say that there's only 4 weeks of imports cover left, but he's said so publicly. So I have to assume that he has information from within the Ministry of Finance.
He was looking at his phone.
Which is very concerning. I expect to see that in the newspapers tomorrow morning. Beyond that, though, we have to understand that borrowing from the IMF is not going to solve the problem. Because if we don't make changes to how we do things, structural changes, if we don't have completely new thinking, you're going to take money from the IMF and you're going to spend it and you'll be right back where we were before we went to the IMF. So we're talking about going to the IMF to prop up the foreign reserves. Fine, you go and you get $500 million, you stick it in the foreign reserve and you make no changes to your tax structure, to the way you operate government, to the way you function in the public service. And what happens in 6 months or a year's time, that money is gone and you're back for the IMF for another loan and for a devaluation. And so we can't be just talking about borrowing money from the IMF without saying that a part of some kind of financing, and I'll say that once again, Solutions Barbados is intrinsically against the IMF, you have to have change to the way in which the government is structured. Without that change, borrowing money will solve nothing.
All right, thank you, Mr. Weatherhead.
There are material errors that he made in what he said just now.
All right, very, very quickly, you have 1 minute to correct all the errors of Mr. Connolly that
like
he
said.
Uh-huh.
Look, the funds from CAF, IDB, CDB, etc., those are ongoing projects. There's nothing new here. So The point I'm making is that these are not new projects and new loans that are being unfolded. This is existing projects that are now coming to fruition where the funds are being released to the government. So that's a different animal completely.
And you're saying,
so I don't want anyone to be misled that there are new loans being secreted by the government. Okay. These are existing projects that are now coming to fruition.
And you can't give us any idea about what some of these projects are?
Some of these projects, I think, relate to the Barbados Water Authority that has been ongoing for some time. And there are other projects for infrastructure that are in the works for a long time. So this is not new projects. This is ongoing stuff that is in train, and the funds are being released as the project progresses. So let's make that clear.
So how come that they have been in train for all these years? No, just
it's not years. The government has been doing business throughout the course of the years. And these things go on and they happen. So as the projects reach a certain level, as you know how funds are dispersed with these type of projects, as the projects reach certain levels, the funds are released accordingly. And that's what's happening there.
That doesn't help us to shore up our foreign reserves. That doesn't help in that context.
It helps with the debt management.
I'm cognizant of your shortened time. So here's like finishing up points. The central bank governor, when we were down to 6.6 at the end of 2017, he said, look, basically the medium term growth performance of the economy is going to hinge upon the performance of foreign exchange driven activities. He mentioned tourism, he mentioned international business. We're here discussing sales and stuff. They're necessary short term things, but we still have to have a long term thing. Mm-hmm. I like what Professor Howard said, and he's correct. He talked about foreign borrowing. He's absolutely correct, but we have to go over the plan. But at this point in time, we have to go for foreign borrowing at lower interest rates, which we're not going to get from outside institutions now. Well, the standard commercial institutions. And so I just going to summarize in 5 points what we had, and that's called our night. Okay. Mm-hmm. The first one was borrowing at lower rates, whichever multilateral agency we could work with. Okay. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, we have to have a homegrown plan, which we do have. The second point we were going to do is cutting expenditure. They talk, for instance, about, you know, attrition. But attrition, retirement, and that sort of thing within the public service, cutting expenditure in terms of things like, you know, the food import bill and stuff. Those are basically cosmetic things we have to do. And then necessities, right? The third point is like, well, eradicating corruption. That came out, and that's necessary. And all the bleeding on the hemorrhage, that also has to happen. And then number four, number five, they basically go together. And that's a growth plan. And that's the whole foreign issue. So it's all part of a plan you have to go with. You just can't say, look, and Scott is right, you just can't say we want to borrow money. But you have to borrow money with a plan. And that's it in summary. I just keeping it time because I know time is short.
And what is the plan? That is my concern.
No, our plan is...
No, I don't mean your plan.
Oh, sorry.
I mean, what is the plan right now? Because let's face facts. The only body's plan that really matters right now, within these next 85, 86 days, is the plan of the Democratic Labour Party. What is their plan? We've just heard from the representative of the Democratic Labour Party that we're going to get $190 million injection shortly, within the next couple of weeks. Correct? I'm not misquoting you. The next couple of weeks.
I'm not being misquoted.
Good.
That one can go in the press. What Scott said.
All right. Mr. Holder, you have 2 minutes to wrap up.
Yeah. For me, if we are looking at the urgency of the situation and the government has to go to the IMF, I would prefer that it is a conversation that they have quickly with the people of Barbados first. Let us know exactly all of the parameters. We as a people are tired of inheriting secrets that tend to fall out after everything has fallen apart. And as it stands in terms of divesting of public assets, more conversation needs to be had. We have the ability within the diaspora and locally for Barbadians to invest in these things in U.S. dollars. They have U.S. accounts. We also need to look at having U.S. accounts established that Barbadians can have them here at home as well. So in terms of a new Barbados going forward, we can see right now that we've got to move away from the exchange back and forth between the two older administrations and look at breathing a fresh breath into the country going forward.
All right. Mr. Weatherhead?
Sanka. Clearly said that the plan that matters the most right now until the elections are over is the one that the Democratic Labour Party has on the table. The only plan I've read from them or seen from them, and I have read it cover to cover, and I can make a copy available to use, the Barbados Sustainable Recovery Plan 2018. And I've read this plan cover to cover. And what is interesting about this plan, it is that it is not a plan. There is not a single actionable item contained within this so-called plan that anyone can go out there and start doing anything. What it says is, here are the challenges that we face. Here are what we'd like to achieve over a specified period of time. But it doesn't give you any action items. There's nothing you can do. So what I would like to encourage the electorate to do is, when you are talking to the parties, challenge them, ask them for specifics. If we elect you, tell me what it is now that you're going to do if we elect you. Don't say, we'll come with a plan 6 weeks after we get into office, or we know what we're doing because we have experience. The Barbados Labour Party, for instance, has 18 new candidates. So the vast majority of those within that organization are in fact new people as well. The Democratic Labour Party will be fielding some new candidates. And so what I'm saying is, challenge them. The electorate needs to challenge these parties specifically. Name your list of action items that you're going to do or introduce on day 1 through 100 to turn this country's economy around. And Solutions Barbados has spelled that list out for over 3 years and is available on our website.
All right. Thank you, sir. And Mr. Ryan Strong from the BLP, 1:58 p.m.
Yep. Having sat here and listened to these guys, the reality here right now is, this country needs to get past this election. And until we understand that that is the first order of business that has to be resolved, then we will be going nowhere. Now, the Barbados Labour Party is quite prepared on the calling of election to give the specifics that the people say that they want, because that is the environment in which we will be executing and be making sure that we communicate precisely what it means for people. The foreign exchange crisis right now has been manufactured by the policies of the Democratic Labour Party, and the mere fact that we're hearing about these new monies and stuff coming on stream is not dissimilar to the number of projects which were carried across this country as being vital to coming back, to bringing back this economy. The Barbados Labour Party is prepared and ready to lead this country, and we will do so at the will of the people. Thank
you. All right, and this is Sanka Price, and I want to leave you with the words of Professor Emeritus Michael Howard, and I'll repeat them. We certainly